Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Monsters Who Murder, Serial Killer Confessions.
Police found 27 corpses.
Australia's worst serial killer.
You know, I didn't want to get in the car. I had to.
With Amanda Howlett and Robert McKnight.
Guess who's back? Back again. Robbie's back. I brought a friend. She's the serial killer whisperer. I lost it there. Hello, Amanda Howard.
Hello, Robert. It's good to see you in such a fantastic mood. And you even started a new job this week, so it must be doing wonderful.
I started the job 2 weeks ago, and this week was our first week on air. And it's been a huge week, which is why there's been a delay getting this next episode out. Thank you for your patience, as always, Team MWM fans, because we appreciate your patience. There has been some big news to talk about, which we'll get to in a moment. But Fidel Lopez is who we're speaking about in this profile, Amanda.
Yes, we are. And this is a case that sort of even made me a bit cringy. It's a bit scary. It's a bit horrible. But we get our man in this one, that's for sure.
Spoiler alert, but I think it's good to know that as well, because we've seen different things happen, and Amanda promised me a confession, so I'm looking forward to that one.
Yep, you asked, I offered, so yes. We've got a good one this week.
And then she brought a confession as well. Anyway, it's time to it's time to get into the big news of the week, because there has been some very big news. With a team claiming the Zodiac Killer has finally been identified, 40 law enforcement journalists, investigators and military intelligence officers have released the findings of their investigation, as KTVU Fox 2 News reports.
Another man now identified as the infamous Zodiac Killer.
We have six people that he told towards his last years that he was the Zodiac.
Tom Colbert is part of a group called the Casebreakers. He says a task force that includes former FBI agents believes Gary Francis Post is the Zodiac. Post died in 2018. Over the years, many other men have been ID'd as the killer.
Hey, everybody has a theory. That's fine. We have evidence that is out the kazoo. It's amazing. I mean, we have tons of evidence.
Among that evidence, they say, a shoe size match, court affidavits from witnesses. The Zodiac was tied to at least five killings in the 1960s, including one at Blue Rock Springs Park in Vallejo and others in San Francisco. The group believes Post wrote the coded messages that taunted law enforcement. One tantalizing clue, the killer claimed his name would be hidden in the symbols.
His name is Post. He ended it with the stamp. And they couldn't figure out his last name. He cleverly used the postmarkings as Gary Francis Stamp. Post.
The group says Post had scars on his forehead from a car crash that matched scars on a sketch of the Zodiac.
That is irrefutable. That is a mark that's the same. It's on him all the way to his death at 80 years old.
Who are we to say yay or nay?
San Francisco Chronicle reporter Kevin Fagan's been covering the Zodiac case for years. He says he's not so sure Post is the right guy.
You know, I got an email 2 weeks ago saying that they found Herb Cain's name in the anagram, so Herb Cain must be the Zodiac. Before that, it was Charlie Manson.
Back in December, the FBI confirmed that a Zodiac cipher had been cracked by codebreakers. His message said in part, "I hope you're having lots of fun in trying to catch me, and I'm not afraid of the gas chamber."
Oh, Amanda, you were very excited when this news came through. It's been a couple of days now. How excited are you now? Has it dissipated? You've been waiting a long time. You've been following this case for decades. What are your thoughts?
I am really, really hopeful. I know that it is only days away. I am sure that it's going to happen regardless. If it's post or not, we're still waiting to see. And as I said, they've got tons of evidence, but we need to see that evidence tested and proven one way or the other. But a lot of the people that are naysayers in this also have their own theories, their own books, and their own suspects. So it's very hard to take them at their word when they're saying that, you know, this person isn't all that person is. You know, the fact that Charles Manson's been mentioned, I mean, Charlie's been brought up in so many things, it's not funny. But it's just one of these cases that after the breaking of the code and after the genealogy that caught the Golden State Killer, Zodiac is next. And if this is it, and this is a guy who hasn't even been linked to it for any years and until the last few years, it's interesting to see how they're going to slot that in, because now there is the issue of them trying to get the evidence to fit their suspect rather than the other way around.
Look, I know that, you know, we had that journalist in there pouring cold water on this, saying, well, this isn't in there. The evidence here is a little bit different to just finding random names in the code or anagrams and stuff like that. When you look at the composite photo of the Zodiac Killer and this guy, you can see a resemblance, and they're talking about the scar marks in his forehead. I also note the police have come and said no. Well, of course they have, because they couldn't find this guy for decades. So anyone pouring cold water, unless there is concrete proof, I'm in the camp of this could be the guy.
Absolutely. And I'm in the same place, because it's not like this is just someone sitting behind the camera like they did with Don't Fuck With Cats. This is investigators. These are FBI agents. These are people who know their stuff. And if they hadn't dotted all of their I's and crossed all of their T's, they wouldn't have produced it just yet, because they've been working on this for not just today. This has been years of work. So it's interesting to see how it will come out. When the code was broken last year, the FBI said, no, I don't know what you're talking about, for about a week before they finally said, yep, we've tested it and it works and it's kosher. So now, you know, I think that's what we're going to see happen again.
Oh, well, we don't know what you're talking about. The code's been broken. Yeah, because you get all these resources and you haven't broken it. Well done, FBI. That's why whenever we're in situations like this, I get very skeptical of the official narrative from investigators. There's a team of 40 people. They're putting their reputation on the line. They've got form, haven't they? Because this isn't the first case they've tackled.
No, they've tackled a few others, including D.B. Cooper, which was a big case, but people sort of dismissed their proof there too. So what they had was actually quite compelling there. They had a guy who was ex-like Navy SEAL or something as their suspect. But, you know, no one is coming forward in the official capacity saying, yep, this is the guy. So this is why there is these delays and people just go, oh, well, this is just their next suspect. But, you know, people are, you know, coming up about, you know, people like Arthur Lee Allen and people like that, and saying, no, it's still him. But he was discredited as a suspect because the DNA didn't match him. So, and so then people try and make that narrative fit, saying, well, then he didn't lick his own stamps, you know. So it's a lot to go through. But I think if they have the DNA to test, which apparently, as we know, after the Golden State Killer, the Zodiac team said that they were actually handing over the DNA to the genealogy people to see what they could do with it. So if they're doing that, then we might get the family tree and they might sort of get it down like they did with GSK. So I think I'm hopeful, but I always am, because I love to see that these cases solved. We're not going to see a confession or anything like that because Post has passed away. But if this is the guy, I think we're going to learn a lot more and find out about a lot of cases, especially when Zodiac claimed to have killed 38 people.
Yeah, and it's only 5 confirmed, isn't it, through investigators, but the number could be much bigger. And look, we've covered the Zodiac Killer many times throughout this podcast, and you can find those episodes through the archived Patreon feed by going to patreon.com/MWM confession. All right, a notorious killer who had evaded French police for 35 years has turned out to be a retired police officer. François Verove confessed to his crimes in a suicide note written before he took his own life. DNA taken since his confession has confirmed he was the serial killer known as La Grêle, meaning the pockmarked man. Amanda, tell me more about this killer.
Well, as you said, he is a police officer, and he had actually been attacking people for many, many years. He killed a man and his au pair. He killed a young girl he's a major suspect in, and there has been a few other victims. Now, most of these victims are being tortured. Others are being sexually assaulted and brutalized. So he was certainly a nasty man, and apparently he was actually using his police ID to actually basically arrest these people and abduct them. However, some of them did escape, and so they were saying this man is showing a real police ID, and so they sort of come to a point that they knew that they were looking at one of their own.
Which indeed they were, and it was interesting that they went and got DNA from, I think it was something like 750 police officers. He was due to give his DNA but failed to turn up and do that, and they didn't chase it up. But the thing that got me is when you look at that photo with him and his granddaughter, you see someone who looks like a gentleman, and there, bubbling away under the surface, was a monster.
And that's what we talk about a lot on this, is because we have these people who look normal, this is how they get away with it. If they look like a monster, no one's going to go with them. If a police officer hands over his ID and says, come with me, and you have no reason to go with them, you're not going to go if they're aggressive or scary. But if they're going, yes, can you come with me? I just got to get you to answer a couple of questions. Well, of course they're going to go. And this is how they're able to get their victims. People aren't going to go with the monster. They're going to go with the man.
Couldn't agree more. Well, you know what? There's so much more to Monsters Who Murder Serial Killer Confessions when you see the video version of this show. We put a lot of overlay in. We put pictures of the suspects and of the people we're talking about, especially through our news section. So there's so much more to experience by going to mwm.uscreen.io. For as little as $15 a month or $5 per episode, you can get the vast array of episodes that we've produced since our last season to bring you a video version of the podcast. But of course, you can always subscribe through Patreon by going to patreon.com/MWMconfessions. For $5 a month, you get our full back catalog. For $10 a month, you get that plus bonus episodes plus the secret Facebook feed for Patreon only subscribers. $20 will get you all of that and a monthly video call with Amanda and myself and a group of others as we all come together to talk just about anything. It's not always just true crime. Then for $25, you get all of that plus access to the video feed. And $50 patrons get a one-on-one video call with Amanda each month. Now, please be reminded that those figures are in US dollars, so your local currency might be a bit more. Just go to patreon.com/MWMconfessions to access everything from our back catalogue. All right, in a moment, we are doing the psychological profile on Fidel Lopez. You're watching or listening to Monsters Who Murder Serial Killer Confessions.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Monsters Who Murder, Serial Killer Confessions.
Police found 27 corpses.
Australia's worst serial killer.
You know, I didn't want to get in the car, but I had to.
With Amanda Howlett and Robert McKnight.
Well, there are a few cases that really bring that sense of horror, as our case today does. At 3:39 a.m. on September 20, 2015, 24-year-old Fidel Lopez called 911 from his Miami apartment asking for help for his partner, 31-year-old Maria Nemeth, whom she said he had found unconscious. Here is that call. Now, the quality is quite poor, but take a listen.
911, what is your emergency?
Hello, I'm in the bathroom.
Look, I know that was a little difficult to hear. Lopez claimed Maria had gone to the bathroom as she was having trouble breathing, and though the dispatcher asked for the address multiple times, Lopez continued to explain how innocent the scene was. Yet when the paramedics and police arrived, what they found was something unimaginable. Lopez was kneeling over the body of Maria. He was shaking her, begging for her to wake up, but Maria was dead. She had died from the massive trauma and blood loss that Lopez had inflicted on her, including evisceration. Throughout the apartment were pieces of Maria's internal organs. What had actually transpired was unthinkable. Maria, who had only recently separated from her husband, had called out his name during sex with Lopez. The mistake sent Lopez into a murderous frenzy. He smashed up the apartment and disemboweled his girlfriend. Though at the time he confessed to not knowing what had happened, Lopez was arrested and was interrogated as police tried to piece together what had transpired over the previous few hours. Amanda, this is interesting because we've seen in the past in the 911 calls that someone who is guilty of doing something does not listen to the questions being asked. They want to get their narrative out and get it on the record what their version of events is, despite any other question being asked of them.
Yeah, that's true, Robert, because they need to start the story, and so they start it from the very, very beginning, because they aren't going to say, oh, my God, my girlfriend's bleeding and she's having trouble breathing on the floor. Can someone come and help? That's what a normal person will say. But when someone has something to hide, well, they start talking. And, you know, though he wasn't familiar with his address because they'd only just moved in, I mean, you could have bashed on the door next door and asked them, you know, this was an apartment complex. But he is deciding, no, she was just having trouble breathing and she was feeling sick and I was outside the bathroom. I had nothing to do with this. And so This is what he's doing. He's already building what he is going to say. And no doubt as soon as the ambulance or paramedics opened that front door, he would have started again with that same story saying, this is what happened, not what you're actually about to see. So he's going in with the I'm innocent and this is, I can't explain how this sort of happened kind of thing, which is bizarre in this case.
Well, Amanda, especially when you see, we just saw some pictures of the scene, what police found. This is, I mean, you've got organs everywhere. There's blood on walls. There's holes in the walls. There is no way this woman wasn't attacked. She didn't just fall over and lose parts of her body. This was a full-on brutal murder.
Yeah, this was a slaughter. I mean, the apartment looks like a slaughterhouse by the end because the blood is everywhere. You know, there is only, I think, 7 liters of blood in the human body, and there was about 5 of that on the walls and the floors and in the bathrooms and everything. She lost a lot of blood.
Wow. All right, we're going to skip over the formalities of the interview and go directly into the questioning with Detective Christopher Piper and Detective White. And Lopez actually says he is there to answer questions because he wants to understand why his girlfriend is dead.
We went to the liquor store, to ABC, right in front of the Sawgrass Mall, at the side. And,
yeah, I know what I'm talking about.
And then we buy a bottle of 1800, something like that.
Okay.
I never drank that before, so.
That's tequila?
Yeah, that's tequila. It's tequila, so.
All right.
We buy that, we went to the house.
Around what time did you get back to the house? I mean,
it wasn't like not far away from. It wasn't not even 10 o'clock, I believe. So
before 10.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay,
before 10.
Before 10. Anybody at the house when you get back?
No, sir.
All right. No one lives with you. Just you two live there together.
Yeah, just me.
To have anybody over? No one visiting?
No, nobody. Nobody. Okay. Nobody.
All right. So tell me about the night from when you get back to the house. Tell me what happened.
Okay, we get to the house. She was already, like, kind of tipsy from the margaritas and chilies. You know, we start to drink. We put, like, 2 cardboard, boxes in the floor. We put the lime on top. And, you know, because we don't have furniture. So we're about to buy, now when I get paid, we're about to buy furniture, TV, the TV, and things like that, you know?
Okay.
And so we put the 2 boxes in the floor in the dinner room. And then we start drinking and talking and listening to music. And, you know, we have a lot of shock of tequila. Then, I don't know, you know, in my position, me, I can handle it. You know, I can handle drinks. Some, you know, sometimes, you know, you go a little crazy. And she was a lot crazy. And so she was asking me for stuff that she never asked me for that before. So.
Well, it's starting innocent enough. They go out for dinner, have a few drinks, grab some tequila and head home. Unbelievable to think it led to this.
Yeah, but he's already setting up some red flags. So he's saying that he can handle his alcohol, though he's never had tequila before. You know, he's trying to decrease the blame that he can have, you know. But Piper's asking things like, was there someone in the house? You know, were they basically attacked by someone? And things like this. And so he's saying, you know, I was a little tipsy. So he's currently saying that the alcohol wasn't affecting him as much, which is important to note. But he's then saying, oh, that she asked for some kink and it's not stuff that they'd done before. And so it was sort of a bit weird for him. And he says then that she got crazy. So instantly, again, he's putting the blame on her of how things went that night. And that, you know, I just had a couple of shots of tequila. I was fine. I can handle alcohol. I don't usually drink tequila, but, you know, I'm fine.
Okay, gotcha. Well, Lopez continues talking about things Maria was allegedly asking him to do to her.
You know, the thing with the arm and shit like that, and, you know, I never done that shit with nobody, especially with her. So
what kind of stuff was she asking? What do you mean with the arm?
I mean, first she started talking like something like, you know, like I was uncomfortable with it, you know, like, oh, one day I want you to put a bottle on my pussy, you know. Sorry, I'm just talking right now with you guys.
Yeah.
You know,
I want you to be open,
respect her, and
absolutely,
and you know,
you're not disrespecting her. You're just telling us what she told you, what she wanted you to do.
You know,
it's no disrespect.
not disrespectful.
You know, I'm a man. I'm her man. So whatever she asks me, I'll do it.
Okay.
You know, whatever it is, I don't care what it is. Even if she wants me to put my hand in her pussy, I'll put it.
Okay.
I'll put it. So she was telling me that, and then I don't remember really if I did it with the bottle too, or if I no, because I was really.
What kind of bottle are you talking about?
It's a beer bottle.
A beer bottle? Okay. All right.
Okay, so he's saying that he put a beer bottle and his penis in her.
Yeah, and he's saying that this is what she asked for him to do, and we can see that when he's talking, he's doing like a lot of like shrugging and hands open, like, you know, yeah, this happened kind of thing, you know, big deal, you know, it's just something that she asked for. I complied because that's what she had wanted, because now he's saying that what had happened to her is consensual, and so what he did was what she was asking for. So again, he's sort of setting up this narrative that he has, you know, but the two officers, and we can't really see White, because he's sitting way back in the back of the room, though we just see his head a couple of times. But Piper's just sort of sitting there saying, okay, what he's saying doesn't match. So he's seeing his baseline of how he's going to lie, and the way he's lying is by dismissing it, by saying she asked for a beer bottle in her vagina, so that's what I did, you know. Anything, I'm her man, yep.
Well, that's fine, right? That's fine. A sexual act, whatever, between two people does not lead to this kind of scene that we've seen in those pictures we showed earlier. When you see a scene like the blood on those walls we've just witnessed, or the disembowelment of a person, or, you know, I see where he's trying to do it and minimalize it. Oh, she asked me to put a beer in her bottle. You know, like I get what he's trying to do. Nothing he did was a big deal, and that it was consensual, but it's a long way from a beer bottle to what has actually happened.
It is, and it's just crazy how he is trying to make this story fit, you know, and he was saying that he could handle his alcohol, and now he's starting to say, oh, I don't quite remember, this is what we were doing, and then suddenly she's dead in the bathroom. He's trying to forget what has happened between it, because he's sort of, you know, saying, well, maybe that's what did. So he's trying to say that, yeah, it was him and no one else, but that it was something that she was asking for him to do, and, you know, whoops.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so Piper wants to know more, trying to lead Lopez to how that act led to her death.
So what ended up happening? I know she was asking you to do these things.
Yeah, she was asking me all this stuff, and, you know, I was starting feeling, like, uncomfortable, like, you know, because she never asked for that, and I know she was tipsy, and... But when we were doing stuff and all the things, she told me she wanted to throw up to get out of the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So I get out of the bathroom, and I was outside. So I believe I was smoking a cigarette. I don't remember if the door was already break or something. I really don't know. I know I break it because she's not strong enough to break it.
What door are we talking about?
The glass door. I just remember I see glass on the floor, man. I really don't remember when I break it or why I break it. You know, to be honest with you, I really don't remember.
Okay.
The only thing I remember clearly is that I went to the bathroom and she was, like, you know, breathing. She was like this. And then I just want to call 911.
And where was she?
She was like between the toilet and the shower thing, like just something like. And I thought she was throwing in the shower, I mean, but, you know, she wasn't. I mean,
you thought she was throwing up?
I thought she was throwing up, but, you know, I don't hear any noise, so I knocked the door, she announced, and I'm getting straight to that she wasn't breathing. You know, she was constant, she was talking to me,
yeah,
you know, but, you know, one moment I get so nervous and scared, and then I get the phone and call 911.
Okay, so now he's added another piece to the puzzle, the smashed door.
Yeah, so he has absolutely completely smashed a sliding glass door to pieces. It is a crumbled mess on the floor. And they're not easy to smash. I know I've slammed a few of those in my life and they've never smashed. So the rage that created that scenario is quite horrific. But we're seeing the Piper is just sitting there just letting him talk. We've seen other officers do this and they're calling bullshit the whole time. Piper's just going, okay, and you know,
it's too early to do that, right? It's too early to call bullshit because you want him to speak and not get defensive. He's not defensive at the moment. He's just talking.
No.
I think he actually thinks he's going to talk his way out of this.
Absolutely. And when he is having trouble and he's not sure if the police are believing him, that's when he says, oh, I don't know what these words are in English. And yet that 911 call, there was no struggling with language. Now, he is from, I'm going to say Mexico, but I might be wrong here. So English is his second language, and that's not in doubt. But it seems to he uses that as a language barrier only when things get tough.
Yes.
But Piper's just, you know, yep, just next question. It's quite good.
Well, Piper continues to let Lopez speak, but he is now starting to poke holes in the story consistency and why. Pipes in too.
Because she was getting worse and worse. And, you know, I don't know.
And whose phone did you use to call 911?
The white phone. I mean, I don't remember what I. From, we were listening music with a phone and the Bluetooth.
Okay.
All right. But I really don't remember where I grabbed the phone for. I called 911 and then when I was going to call 911 again, I didn't find the phone. I don't remember if she take it or if she throw it or something. What I remember is that I put a panel in the phone.
The battery?
Yeah, the battery in the phone. I don't remember where I find it, but I put the battery in the phone and I call 911 again. But before I call, I went outside and I see you guys. So it's when I tell the police officers or whatever were there, like, come up, it's right here.
Now, when you called 911, was she still breathing?
No, man, she wasn't.
She wasn't breathing?
She wasn't. I was trying to give her CPR, man. I remember I was kissing her and put some air in her stomach. Was like up and down, man. And she wasn't breathing. I mean, I don't know when somebody is there or not because I've never seen the body before.
Okay. You said when you first went into the bathroom and you saw her, she was breathing.
She was breathing. She was conscious. All right? She was like... And that's what I called 911.
And where was she in the bathroom again?
She was like in the toilet, between the toilet and the shower.
Okay. Is it a shower or a bathtub?
Yeah, a bathtub.
So it's not just
like a jacuzzi. Like,
okay, you know. So it's not just a stand-up shower.
No,
if you want to take a bath, you can take a bath in it.
Exactly. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know how to say that.
No, that's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Like a,
was she in the tub?
No. I was trying to put her there, but I couldn't lift her up, man. I was strong. And I don't want her to hit her head or hit something or something, you know?
Right, right, sure.
You know? But the last thing I do is just put some cold water on her face. I open the shower.
Okay.
Put some cold water on her face to see if she reacts. And I start, hey, baby, you okay? Baby, you okay? I start screaming like a motherfucker and nobody here.
So he said she was breathing, but then said she was dead, but then said she was breathing, and now he's moving her to the shower to splash water in her face.
Yeah, so what Piper and White are doing there is that they're actually making him extend that timeline. So he came in with a very simple story. She was breathing funny, so I called 911. Now it's like I was doing CPR. I had to put the battery into the phone. She was breathing. I had to get her into the shower. I didn't want her to bump her head. So he's adding these little bits into it because they're saying, you know, so you found her like that and you rung 911 because that's not that timeline. You know, this has taken an extended period of time to occur. So they're wanting him to fill in gaps, but he doesn't want to. So now he's starting to fall over himself because he's saying that he only rung 911 when she stopped breathing. So, you know, which one is it? So the lies are starting to trickle through.
But what's interesting, it's not confrontational. You know, they're getting the information out of him just by follow. It just sounds like they're following up on what he's saying. At no point yet have they gone down this path of you're a liar. So it's very, very interesting. Then White continues to push Lopez, and Lopez continues to add to the narrative.
Neighbors might be hearing me scream.
Okay.
I was screaming for help.
Right. Is that what you were screaming, is help?
Yeah, I was screaming for help, man.
Screaming anything else?
No, man. I was just, baby, why you do this to me, baby? Wake up, baby. Help. Right. You know, because I don't know the address.
Baby, why do you do this to me? Another bad accent alert. This is his girlfriend of 14 months. She's dead on the floor, and his immediate thought is, why do you do this to me? The victim is causing problems for him.
Exactly, and that's what we're seeing. This isn't about saving her. It's about saving himself. This is about self-preservation. So the fact that he actually says that that's what he was screaming at her, like not like, oh, my God, baby, wake up, you know, or sorry, I did this to you, or, oh, my God, I can't believe this has happened. None of that. It is, look what you've done to me, you know. How dare you die from disembowelment when, you know, you've just screwed my life up. You know, it's absolutely disgusting that this is what he is saying as his response to his girlfriend dead on the floor.
Now, what we see here is classic investigation. Lopez has concluded his story, but now Piper wants him to go over it again in a little bit more detail. So Lopez goes through the sex acts again and again, minimizes his intent. Now, this is a tactic we've seen before and how it can bring someone undone. Amanda's spoken about this a lot of times. You just have to think about Jennifer Penn at the end of last season. But Lopez continues to leave out parts of the story. So Piper starts asking for specifics.
Tell me about the argument. Tell me about any issue, the argument when you got home tonight.
When we got home tonight?
Yeah, once you got home in the apartment, talk about that. Like, what were you guys arguing about?
No, but I mean, we were just talking, and she was just telling me that thing. That one day when you put bottle, and you know, I was feeling a little low, man, because. You know, maybe I think that I'm not make her like
a sacrifice.
Exactly, which is not true because I know I make a sacrifice, but you know, I know she was wrong. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when somebody's wrong, says the truth, and we start arguing. But after, hey, baby, come on, this you know, let's not fucked up this night tonight.
Yeah.
We're gonna be okay. Then we listen to music, man. We just drinking. Chops. We were drinking 2 little cups like this. Chops. To be honest with you, I don't remember when the glass broke or something like that, man. I really don't remember.
So
I know it's broke because I know I see glass in the floor.
I understand. So the argument was you were kind of upset she was talking about your manhood. You thought that maybe.
No, not really. I wasn't upset at all. I mean, I just feel a little like down, but not upset because, you know, I know she was wrong and tipsy or whatever, and I was in the same.
Well, talk about a masterclass from Lopez, how to answer a question without actually answering the question.
Yeah, so, you know, he was all over the place there, and this is classic deflection. So he sort of says, oh, you know, we were just talking about stuff and, you know, I was feeling a little low. So, again, he's decreasing his part in all of this, you know, and even Piper says that what she was, you know, taking the piss out of your manhood, and I don't think Lopez understood what that actually meant. But he's like, yeah, no, just, you know, we were talking, we were doing shots, but it doesn't answer the question. He does not say what they were having an argument about, and this argument was loud and violent that the rest of the apartment complex heard. So they have this info, but, you know, Lopez, you know, he just went right the way around the world and did not answer the question. Even when they offered him scenarios, he still just went beyond the question.
Well, this next clip, he says something that makes Piper more interested, and the floodgates are about to be opened.
Me and her, you know, before when we were drinking, I'm always, you know, not the violence we heard, but, you know, I have to, my violence, I have to hit it with something else, the wall, the car, or something, okay. You know? I'm that kind of person, you know, not just with her, just, and not drunk, sober, even when I'm sober, the same person. Never hit her, never touch her.
I know you talked about the broken glass. Is there other things that you hit or broke tonight?
You know, in my mind comes the computer, comes the laptop. I believe I see the laptop somewhere on the floor, like you know, the laptop is, you know, the keyboard is plugging, unplugging, you know. Okay. I see it on the floor somewhere. I don't know if I throw it or just go to the floor.
What about doors or anything like that? There's some damage to the doors.
I don't remember, man.
Walls. Was there any damage in that house prior to tonight?
No, in the house there was no damage at all. The house was completely restored. Like, everything was
clean and in order. No holes in the walls, no broken doors.
No holes in the wall. If you see holes in the wall, then I did that.
Okay.
So he's now confessed to smashing up the house. Have a look at these photos, because the crime scene photos show the sliding glass door was smashed. There were holes punched in a number of walls. We've shown some of those photos before. But, Amanda, when you see that, it's a violent scene.
It is, and it's a violent, prolonged scene. So this isn't just, oh, I went smash, and punched a wall and calmed down. Every single wall is smashed, and there's blood everywhere. The sliding glass door, as we just saw, was smashed to smithereens. You know, and he's saying, oh, I might have thrown the laptop because it was unplugged from the wall. You know, he's making these tiny, minute details, you know, but they're knowing that everything that has happened has taken a long time to occur, and with the blood, you know, and so they are even checking, you know, whether any, you know, smashed walls before you guys moved in, because they'd only been in this apartment for a month, so, you know, it was just, you know, a brand new refurbished apartment, so they're even checking that just in case these were smashed already before they'd moved in, you know. But he's saying no, and I did that, so any damage you find, I did that. But yet he's still negating anything that happened to Maria.
Yeah. And then the two detectives get to the bottom of the violence.
And why did you do it?
You know, that's the problem. I don't know why, man. We're drinking, and I don't know why. That's the problem. I'm trying to make up in my mind why did I do that. Mm-hmm. When I do that, it's because I'm pissed. You know? But I don't know what makes me pissed.
Well,
maybe she was talking about her ex-husband or something. Something like that. Okay. Because
that makes sense.
So he vaguely mentions that she might have mentioned her ex-husband. We're starting to get to it. Drips of information are coming out, Amanda.
We are, and Piper even sort of encourages this line of questioning, because when he says, you know, I might have got angry because she may have mentioned her ex-husband, Piper says, well, that makes sense. You know, like, that could be a very typical reason to have a fight with someone when they're talking about their ex. They're not the first people to have a fight about that, and they're certainly not going to be the last. But now we're getting to a motive. So is her saying, you know, oh, my stupid ex didn't pay me this month or something, who knows, was that enough? So they need to know in what context this is said. But, you know, Lopez is feeling okay about this sort of questioning, because he believes that they just think that, you know, he got angry, smashed up the place, and suddenly she somehow died, but it had nothing to do with him. Maybe it was to do with a sex act with a glass bottle, you know. But the approval that he got from Piper just then was enough to sort of set that seed for him to realize that the story that he's giving is good, and that this is part of the story that he's going to be okay telling in a bit more detail as it continues.
Well, Lopez then makes another statement that proves everything he is saying is a lie.
Normally, when you break a glass, you cut at least a little bit in your hands.
Yeah.
I don't know if I did it with something or used something. I know I don't use her. That's for sure.
You don't wet her?
I don't use her to break the glass, man.
Wow.
I never hit no woman, none in my life, man.
During your argument or into when you were upset tonight, do you remember punching her?
No, man. No, man.
Okay. Have you ever punched her, hit her, or struck her in the past?
No.
Nothing physical?
Nothing. We just argued. That's it.
I've got to say, he's doing a good job of making this easy on the police. He even admits he somehow broke the glass, but he doesn't have any cuts. So in all likelihood, he threw her through that door, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what's happened, is that this glass has been broken by something other than his fist. So we know that there is basically head-sized holes in the wall. The smashed glass is, like, completely obliterated, and he has no cuts, and he even admits to that. But he's saying at the same time, oh, yeah, but I don't hit a woman. There's no way I would have done this to her and everything. I don't know how he thinks that he can get through this, that somehow a wild animal got into the house and smashed it up and killed her. You know, mm-hmm. It's amazing that he is happy to say that he did some of these things, but also by him saying that he smashed the glass, not that he threw her through it, that is how he's trying to say, well, you know, I did that and that wasn't part of her harm. So, but they know now that, you know, in all likelihood, she got thrown through it, and that's how it got smashed.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Detective White wants to nail down the timeline, and Lopez's response, have a look, it makes no sense.
Okay.
I did.
My question is this. You said it was last night, because before last night there was no problems, no broken glass.
No problems. No.
Was it before or after you guys started being sexual?
For me, it was right. What you said before we have sex. Before we have sex is when everything happened, with the door breaks. When one thing is break, everything else is gonna be break. I know they're mad because of something.
Right.
Then we say, hey, I'm sorry, Rana, and we start make up sex or whatever we did.
Okay, so he smashed the house up and then they have makeup sex. So it's a pretty violent environment, really.
Yeah, it is, and it's quite strange that he thinks that sounds absolutely credible, because you know, this is a massive amount of damage. You know, it's not like, oh, you said your ex-husband's name and then I punched a wall and you said sorry and I said sorry and we got down on the floor and got dirty. You know, this is further than that. This is something that took a long time to occur. But he's just saying that, you know, even though he's drunk and he can't remember anything and he's fine with alcohol and it doesn't make him drunk, he can remember that they were happy families and they were drinking tequila, and then she's in the bathroom and she's bleeding out. Not that he even recalls that part yet, but she's poorly breathing. But in that, he knows that they made up. Can't remember what the fight's about, but he knows they made up because then they had sex straight afterwards. So, you know, it's just amazing how he's putting these pieces in, but it's not making sense because of all of these gaps. And it's amazing that he remembers the okay things that are happening, but he's not remembering any of the bad things.
Mm. Well, then Lopez again extends the story, and it goes from the ridiculous to the sublime.
So you guys are drinking, you have an argument, and everything, you get mad and start breaking everything.
Yeah, I believe that's what happened, but I don't remember what I get mad.
You remember you remember making up, like?
Yeah, we you know, we talk and we have sex. I mean, if it's not, we don't have sex. Okay. Trust me, man.
So my thing is if you remember kind of making up and having sex, what was the argument about? What got you so enraged
that's
you destroyed the house?
That's what I don't remember, man. You know, I know we had the sex. I know I did those dirty things, and I know this because I never did this before. And it's a shit. That shit is in my mind right now.
Were you talking about sex before the argument?
Oh, what?
You said that she was asking you to do certain things. Was that before the argument or after the
argument? Yeah, no, that was way before. We were just drinking, and she was like on the moon. She was, you know, telling me, not telling me to do it today, which is what telling me, hey, one day I want you to do this. I didn't pay attention to that. I know I get mad because of something. It wasn't because of that. It's something else. It was something else. I know I break everything. I know I did it. If you see holes in the wall and shit, I did that. She did it. I did that. I break the door. Everything is broken inside. I did it.
Okay, so he admits to the damage, but why do they want to know if it happened before or after?
Well, they know that the damage that has occurred to her is sexual in nature. So she's had pieces torn out of her through her vagina. So they want to know if this is rough sex gone wrong, which is what Lopez is trying to say is happening, or if this is like a revenge fuck kind of thing. Like, is he jamming bottles in and everything to say, yeah, this is what you're like, you know, you're a slut, you're a whore, and doing all of that. Right. That's what they kind of think is going to happen, is that he is mad and angry and that he does this brutal sex act on her, which caused these injuries, rather than it was kiss and make up and suddenly she's on the floor and not breathing. So they're trying to work out where this damage occurred, because they know it's linked to the sex act somehow.
Okay. Both officers then bring Lopez back to his story about the beer bottle, and I have to warn you, from here on in, it gets very graphic.
You know, I do whatever you want me to do. For the bottle, it was a small bottle. I believe it was like beer bottle or something that she was drinking too. She was drinking the tequila and the beer.
Okay. What kind of beer were you drinking?
Coors Light, something like that. I know I have a Blue Moon inside of the fridge, but I don't know if it's that one, the one she was drinking, or Miller Lite, so something like that.
Okay. So the bottle, the beer bottle, you put the beer bottle inside of her?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yes, I did. That was first that I put my arm.
Before or after?
That was before I put my arm.
Okay.
Then when I put the beer bottle, then she told me, I put your arm.
Did anything else between the beer bottle and your arm?
Not that I remember right now. I mean,
how did you put the beer bottle in?
Put it in.
I mean, but how? The part that you drink out of, you put that in, or you put the bottom in? I mean, what did you put in?
I really don't remember, man. I mean, like, I just put the bottle. I know I used the bottle.
Do you remember taking the beer bottle out?
Yeah, man. Of course. Okay. I ain't gonna leave it there, man. I took him out.
Did you put the whole beer bottle in?
Yeah.
The whole bottle?
She was asking for it, man. You know, I did it.
Okay. I did it. All right. And then beer bottle, then what's next?
I think I used my dick between the beer bottle. I didn't care at all, because it really, there was blood. Once I, you know, with the beer bottle, it was blood, man. I mean, I hate blood.
So the beer bottle caused her to bleed?
I think so.
Did the beer bottle break?
No. Not that I know.
It didn't break at all?
Not that I know.
Do you remember, was there any sharp, was there any, you know, if a piece of it broke, it's a glass bottle?
Yeah, it's a glass bottle.
I'm asking, is it?
Yeah, you're asking.
So if it wasn't cracked, shouldn't be sharp, right?
Shouldn't be what?
Shouldn't be sharp, like it will cut you. If it's not broken, it shouldn't be sharp.
It shouldn't be cold.
Right.
But remember, man, we're talking about a bottle that didn't speak.
Right. So as soon as you took the bottle out, she started bleeding.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. That was blood. I know it was blood.
And where was this at when this was happening?
Those were in the closet, trying to move to the bathroom, man. I really, you know, it was crazy, man. Everything was crazy. Everything was that just together, the break, the door, everything.
Was she standing up?
One woman, man.
Right.
And I was drunk too, man.
Was she standing up? Was she up and like walking?
No, she was like a four point position.
Like on her hands and knees?
Yeah.
Like if you were going to have sex with her doggy style from behind?
Exactly. I don't know if we did it from behind. I really don't remember. I think so, too.
So okay. How did she get from the closet to the bathroom?
Walking.
Oh, so she did walk.
Yeah, she did walk. She was drunk, but she was okay.
But she was bleeding from the closet. She started bleeding in the closet.
I don't know if she started bleeding in the closet. I know I see blood. I see blood. I didn't realize, but when I see my hand, it was blood.
So we seem to be getting closer his story just isn't fitting the scene, is it?
No, it's not, but he's trying to, because now he knows they're going to ask about the blood. So what he does is he says, oh, maybe, you know, she got cut from the glass bottle. And so then they say, you know, was it broken? It's like, well, no. Then how did that happen, sort of thing? You know, and then he's like, oh, no, I just remember seeing blood. I don't remember how much it was or where it was or, you know, and then it's on his hand and he doesn't know what sort of beer bottle it was and he's sort of going through a couple of different brands and things like that, just trying to sort of make it kind of fit but not sure, because now he knows that there's blood, so he has to account for it. So, and he's saying that he put his hand in her and then he put the beer bottle into her, and but it's so conveniently vague of the important parts of this. The closet is going to come up a lot with this, so I'm not quite sure. I'm assuming it's like a walking robe, but the closet is very important because that's where most of the blood was. So that is why the police are going to focus on that location and why they were having sex in the closet.
Right. Okay. Piper then discusses the scene, and let's see how Lopez reacts.
Now, there's blood, there's a lot of damage that's in the house, there's a lot of things. Is there anything else besides the beer bottle in the closet that you put inside of it? There's a lot of items on the floor.
A lot of items? Like what? You tell me, I'll tell you if I did it or not. Because I really don't remember, man. I remember the
flashlight. There's like a flashlight. There's some kind of like a flashlight. There's a
flat iron. A long, thin
flat iron.
Girl that women use for their hair.
Oh, it's flat, yeah.
Like a curler.
Maybe. Did she ask me for the beer bottle, everything similar to that thing? Maybe. I remember for sure my arm and the beer bottle. Okay. Besides that, if he's finding anything, maybe.
What about a coat hanger?
A what?
Like a coat hanger or that you hang clothes with?
I don't think so.
Anything that would have like a hook or a sharp that something caused her to bleed? Something cut her?
Something got her.
I mean, that she was bleeding.
Had to be some of those stuff. Maybe my arm too, but she had blood before I used my arm.
Wow, a hair straightener, coat hanger. I'm guessing these items were also covered in blood.
Yeah, they were. A lot of these things were covered in blood, and there was many items that had been shoved inside of her. So the fact that he keeps saying she was asking for it just makes me see like violent red. I am just so frustrated that he just thinks that this is just a normal sex act, and he doesn't know. But he's knowing that she was bleeding before he put his hand in her, and you know it's amazing that he knows that, but he's not reacting to these other things, and then goes, yeah, maybe I'll put a hair straightener inside of her. It's just so appallingly horrific to know that this was a prolonged attack, because now this is part of the storyline. So it's getting longer and longer and longer. And this is why they're just letting him go through parts, and then they go into specific parts, like when did she start bleeding? This is what they want to know. So they're saying, but was it a coat hanger? You know, so that isn't a normal sex kink. You know, I don't know if you even have a normal kink, but you know what I mean. this is something different. So it's
mutilation,
violent.
All of this, it's gone beyond. You know, it's gone beyond using a beer bottle for a bit of pleasure. I mean, she's bleeding, and it just sounds like he is getting anything he can find, and I don't know how to put it, but, you know, inserting them into her and causing pain and mutilation. That's what this sounds like.
Absolutely. It's just basically a violation. So he is violating her with anything that he can get that will fit into her vaginal canal.
Yeah. Okay, we've heard Lopez's version of events, but now we get to the point where Detective Piper is calling bullshit. We love this part when the detectives start to turn the tables, and you're going to hear that and see that next week on Monsters Who Murder, Serial Killer Confessions. Amanda, don't hate me that I'm calling a halftime mark here. I know this is the part everyone wants to see, but we need to take a break and come back to this, and it's going to be worth coming back for, isn't it?
Oh, there is so much more to unpack. It's going to be incredible. And yes, I was happy to keep going for another 3 hours, but you know I always am. So I got to go with you on the cut.
You know my rules. All right. If you want to hear, if you're listening to the free feed and you want to get a week's head start on everyone else, it's easy. Subscribe to Patreon. Episodes are released a week ahead of everyone else. So just go to patreon.com/MWMconfessions, or you can watch it at mwm.uscreen.io. I'm Rob McKnight, and as usual, I've been joined by the serial killer whisperer and criminologist, Amanda Howard. Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks, Robert.
We'll see you next week.
You always have to have that final word on it.
Oh, that's not true.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.